Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Guys, talk to me about this. You're looking for a place you've never been before. You're cruising around in your car. Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, boom, boom. Everything's good until you get to the street that you're going to, and now you got to turn down the radio so you can see the address better. Or the remote control's not working, so what do? The first thing we do is we just press the buttons harder, as if thumb strength is obviously the problem here. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
And what I was just thinking about was, we do a lot of things just by habit that don't make sense at all. And then we go through life, and then we have things that happen to us that kind of shake our mind, and we're like, I don't understand what just happened here. How did this happen? And so I want to ask a question today. How many of you are facing a circumstance in your life right now that does not make sense? Well, I want to let you know that God brought you this message today. He was in heaven thinking about you. He was in heaven wondering, what can I do for my baby today? And you know what he did? He said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to help them understand where they're at and how to get past it. So I want to let you know this message today is for you. God loves you that much that he made this whole thing happen for you today. Say, God loves me. And I love him back. So we're going to start with a story about a guy named Asa. And Asa is in 2 Chronicles 14. How many of y'all are in business or you hold a management position, you're a leader in business, you're a leader in your home, you're a leader in your neighborhood, in your school? Raise your hand for me. Best leadership book that I have ever read is 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, because it talks about all the different kings, how they rose and how they fell. And so my theory on that is this: if I can watch some other sucker screw up instead of me, I love learning from their mistakes instead of mine. So Asa is a king. He got to be king because his daddy was king and his daddy passed. And as he starts to be king, he gets 10 years of rest and of building. In chapter 14, verse 7, it says, so they built and they prospered. This is a good place to be in life, having 10 years of building, 10 years of prosperity, 10 years of goodness in your life. Have you ever had a good year? How many of you know they are so much better than a bad year? How many of you know that a bad year can feel like 10 years? But a good year goes by really fast. And sometimes a good year is a year that just, you don't even notice that things were actually remarkable until something else comes up. And then you're like, man, wait a minute, I kind of missed how it was last year. You know what I'm talking about? So that's where Asa is. Asa is in life, he's come off of 10 good years. God's got plans for him. He's got plans to build him, to prosper him. Asa is worshiping God. Jeremiah 29:11, the same thing is for you. He says, I know my plans for you. I know what's going on, says God. My plans for you to prosper you, to not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. You see, God is in heaven on a 10,000-foot view. He's higher than 10,000 feet. He's all the way up in heaven. And in heaven, he's looking down, and he can see everything. We can only see so far in life. We can only see as far as our experience in life. We can only see what we've lived in life, or maybe what we've read about. So we have a tendency to only know what we know. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My version of that is, you don't know what you don't know, so let's find out, right? So now we know, so let's find out what we don't know. So Asa knows what he knows, and he's going through life. And then, everybody look at your neighbor and say, and then?
Amen.
And then he's talking about his army. In verse 8, it says, I have 300,000 men of Judah with swords and shields, and I have 280,000 men of Benjamin with bows and shields. And here's what's happening. In this space, while all of this is going on, I am strong and mighty and powerful. So when somebody comes up to Asa and they're like, yo, boy, you in what army? He's like, these 580,000 men right here. How many of you, that would make you feel like a tough guy, right? Me and what army? I'll tell you about my army. So he's telling us about his army. And then it happens. Something that doesn't make sense. Ethiopian king comes at him with a million men. That's two guys for every guy. I hate it when things don't make sense in life. I hate it when fights come. How many of y'all ever been in a fight? Raise your hand. Wait, I won't look. Go ahead, be honest. Oh, I'm looking at the screen. How many of you have ever been in a fight where there was two of them and one of you? Those are the kind of fights where you just need to go home, right? Just need out. That's the kind of fight they're in, a kind of fight that doesn't make sense. Now, you might not have been in a fight like that, and the situation, the circumstance you're in right now probably isn't a physical fight of two people coming trying to kill you physically. Maybe your fight looks like this. Well, ma'am, the tumor is 3 inches. Your grandma's was 6, and your mom's was 1. Both of them died within 12 months, so here's what we're laying out for your life. Or maybe it looks like, I know the checkbook's low again, Bob, but last time this happened, we almost claimed bankruptcy, and I think bankruptcy's just going to happen for sure. I think we're going bankrupt this time. They're going to displace us. We're not going to have somewhere to live. How are we going to buy the kids tennis? I don't even know how to get gas to go to work. If I can't get gas to go to work, how am I going to pay the bills? Or maybe it looks like, oh, no, Ed, he is hanging out with that other kid, and that other kid, his one friend got shot, his other friend OD'd. Our kid's going to end up shot or OD'ing if he hangs out with him. You see, what happens is when our circumstance comes, we tend to develop this mouth problem that talks about the circumstance. It talks about just the part that we can see. And what we can see in our life is limited to our experience. Our experience is really thin. It's not very wide. It doesn't give us a lot of latitude. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. You see, we tend to trust our experience and what we know, and we tend to trust our circumstances and only what we can see. I put on Facebook, how many of y'all follow me on Facebook? Who are the rest of y'all following? What? You follow me on Facebook, man. It says, if we limit God to our finite thinking, we limit his infinite possibilities. You see, God has possibilities, and God has ways that we don't understand. Isaiah 55, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. We don't get his ways. All we see is this part. And I just want to let y'all know that I asked them for a balance beam, and so the really nice guys here, they built me a balance beam, and it is tilted like this. It's like I have heels on. That's why one reason I took my shoes off to stand up here. And I said, guys, why couldn't you get me a real balance beam? And they're like, you're not a real gymnast. Good point. Point taken. So as we're leaning to our own understanding, which really limits us and leans us out in life, we start saying what the circumstance shows. What's the problem with that? I'm just being real. How many of you have heard that? So you've never said it yourself, of course, but you've heard somebody else say, I'm just being real, right? I'm just being real. Well, we can all see the circumstance because we all have eyes, right? We know what the circumstance is. It is a trick of the enemy to try and get you to talk about just being real. Why? Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the... Matthew 18 says, with our words we will be justified, or with our words we will be condemned. Deuteronomy 30:19 says that I put before you death and life. Then it says, choose life. You see, there is a choice in the matter. How many of you right now feel like you're in a position where there is no power? You don't have power to change your circumstance. Raise your hand. A lot of us, how do I change the tumor? Well, how do I change the bank book? I go to work every day. How do I control my child? I don't know how I have power. Well, I have good news for you. Because God has given us the power through him. We don't have power all by ourselves, but he has given us a mouth. You see, Mark 11:23-24, it says, say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things with you. Say. Believe those things that you So do we believe what that guy over there told us, or do we believe what we say? We believe what we say. Matter of fact, there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating device. It controls your heartbeat. It controls your breathing, which is things you don't think about until right now because I mentioned it. All right? Now you're thinking about, oh, yeah, I am breathing in. I am breathing out. Oh, no, I think about my breathing. How many of you don't think about your breathing all the time? So this part of your brain goes to work putting into motion what you say out of your mouth. So God says, it looks like you have no power, but actually what I've done is I've given you power to have power over your circumstances. Well, Asa was aware of the fact that it didn't look like he had any power. And he had the opportunity to say what he saw. It would make sense for him to say, we're all going to die. Oh my gosh, they're going to steal our wives and they're going to take our kids and oh my gosh, they're going to take our stuff and we're just going to die. Oh my, what are we going to do? Just send the kids away and send the wives away. How many of you think that would be a reasonable plan? That plan would be leaning to our own understanding. And when we lean to our own understanding, we limit God's infinite possibilities. So instead, what Asa says in verse 11, it says, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those that have no power. How many of you feel like you don't have power in your situation? Come on, raise your hand high. This verse is for you. We might not feel like we have power in the situation, but I've come with good news for you today. Maybe we can't make the difference, and maybe the odds are 2-1. Maybe they've come to you with a spear and a sword. Maybe they've come to you with a diagnosis that says 30 days or less. Maybe they've come to you with this big legal problem that you think is going to drain you dry. And maybe they've come to you with goose eggs in your checkbook. Maybe they've come to you with a situation that looks like there's no power. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have the power, but we know the person who does have the power. And he has given us he even says in his Bible, I've given you the power to get wealth. He has given us power in our mouth. Say, in my mouth. But what we have to put in our mouth is what he says, not what we say. Because we say things that prophesy. So when we speak, we're speaking life into our future. So here's a question I want you to write down, because I want you to ask this to yourself later. And the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. And you think you're going to remember to write it down, and you're not going to remember to write it down. Just like the last time you went to the grocery store and you knew you needed butter. It's the whole reason you went to the grocery store was to get butter. You went home with a whole cart full of stuff and you came home and you forgot the butter. Right? So write it down. And this is, if your future was exactly what you've been saying, what will my future hold? If my future is exactly what I've been saying, what does my future hold? Now, we have the opportunity to change that, because right now we can change what we've been saying. Well, all I've been saying is my dad limped and my mom limped. They both had arthritis in their lumbago, and I got arthritis. I don't even know what a lumbago is. Sounds like a Winnebago. I know that's an RV. I guess my RV has arthritis. I don't know. That was my attempt to be funny. That's all I got. Okay, I have to take a break and have to tell you a joke then. So, a real one. That was funny too. So there's this guy, and he's been having problems at night, you know, the night blindness, not being able to see. So he goes to the doctor, and he talks to the doctor, and he's like, I've been having these problems seeing at night, but things have been changing for me. I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and poof, the lights go on. And I get done going to the bathroom, and poof, the lights go off. He says, I think God is with me, looking out for me. So his wife goes in and meets with the doctor and says, Doctor, what do you think? And he said, well, it sounds like God's kind of handled his problems. The lights are going on, the lights are going off. When he gets up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, I don't think I need to do anything. And she said, oh, no, he's using the refrigerator instead of the bathroom again. Real one. Okay, where were we? Okay, Proverbs 3. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust God. Acknowledge him in all your ways, what Asa was doing, and how we can speak life into our future. So what we do right now is we change what we've been saying about our future, and we stop saying what we see. What we see leans to our understanding. How many of you know that if I lean on here right now, if I lean very far, what am I going to do? I'm going to fall. Let's see. Yep, sure enough, I fell. Best excuse ever to preach barefoot, by the way. I wore my most uncomfortable shoes today because I knew I wasn't going to have them on. But they are cute, aren't they? You know what's funny is when I get home from church, okay, this is free. When I get home from church and people have posted pictures of my shoes from the message, that cracks me up. So I don't know, there's my shoes. All right, so anyway, so what we do is we let the circumstance determine our outcome in our mind. And this is why the Lord gets pleased with Asa. Asa does not lean to his own understanding and decide what is going to happen for his and his army. He goes to the Lord and he prays. And he prays a prayer of faith. And he says, God, I know you, and I know you can do this with many where things look good, and we would lean to our own experience, leaders. We would lean to the thing we've done 100 times. I know you can do it that way, but I know you can also do it a way that I've never seen happen before. And instead of leaning on myself and falling, because that's what happens when we lean to our own experience without acknowledging God, he said, instead of leaning on my own understanding and falling, God, I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways and let you direct my path straight to this victory. God, I know you can do it with many, or you can do it with those with no power. We got no power, but God, we come to you and we ask you to give us victory in your name. He says, do not let man prevail against you. The next verse says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians from before Asa, and the Ethiopians fled. They did not let their circumstance determine their outcome. And that is faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. And faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. It's Hebrews what, 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So with faith, we please God. So let's go back to what we're saying about our life. What are you saying about your life? Is it pleasing God? Is it a faith statement? No, I'm keeping it real. Well, quit it. Quit keeping it real. Real sucks. She said sucks in church. I know, because it's real. Right? We can keep living this way. We can keep talking this way. We keep talking this way, keep living this way, keep talking this way, keep living this way. Quit it. Let's start talking this way and start living his way, which is to prosper and not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. God's got big plans. No small plans here. God's got big plans for you. Big plans. Plans that don't make sense in the natural. So you're thinking, okay, This doesn't make sense. I just don't know what happened. I don't know how I got here. I don't know why a million men are coming and trying to kill us just out of nowhere, 10 years apiece. I don't understand why the tumor came or the rash came. I've been living healthier. I don't understand why I still have the arthritis I've been believing God for. I don't understand why my husband won't act right. I wanted to kill him, but I don't look good in orange. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Well, that's why God tells us we can't lean to our own understanding, because he doesn't do things in a way that makes sense in the natural. What God does is he says, hey, I know you don't have enough money, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to give 10% of the money that you don't have enough of to me. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to make not enough money, even less money, but somehow even less money is going to be more money than the money that you started out with, because I got this principle called tithing, and you'll have more and be able to do more on less. And your mind, when you became a new Christian and you first heard about tithing, I'm sure your mind went, say, what? Because when you lean to your own understanding, the math doesn't make sense. But when you go and you trust God in all your ways, now it makes sense. I had somebody ask me. They said, you got up on there like that Saturday night. Why didn't you do it again? Ta-da! That is my one trick. Oh, wait, I got this too. I got that too. Two tricks. So things don't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to make sense. How are they going to beat an army of a million? It doesn't make sense. How am I going to tithe and have enough money? It doesn't make sense. Things don't always have to make sense in the natural. Back that up, because I said that wrong. Forget I said that. Things of God will not make sense in the natural, because we don't serve a natural God. If we serve the natural God, we got a problem, because he's only got what we got. We serve a supernatural God, a spiritual God, a God of heaven and earth, a God of all creation, a God of power who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. It means he's everywhere, he knows everything, and he has all the power. It means it doesn't matter what kind of corner your enemy tries to sneak around, he can see it all from up here, and he can stop them over there and take the bridge out over here and reroute them over there. And you and I so many times take credit for the fact that we stood here and we were okay, and he's like, baby, the only reason you were okay is I dealt with them when you couldn't even see them. I like that hand clap, because that hand clap is serving. And God said, thank you, God, for all the hell I did not see. Woo, Jesus. Yes, Lord. So let's go back to lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. What does that mean? That means ask God what to wear. What? I say that because how many of you got in your closet this morning and you said, I don't know nothing to wear. I wear dresses a lot during the week because there's one peach, I don't have to match nothing. I love that. If there's a question we are going to ask another human, this one or this one, right? How many have done it? Guys, you are so into this. I am married to a man. And he asks me this all the time. These shoes go with, I'm like, I can't even believe he cares. Guys care. Ladies, they care. They look at magazines when you're not looking. If there's a question we're going to ask a human, it's a question we should be asking God. Why? Why should I ask God the small stuff? Because when we get in the habit of praying about all things with prayer and supplication, Philippians. When we pray about all things, when we ask God, I don't have time to pray about all things. I mean, Catholic man, I got to get on my knees. I got to do a sign of the cross. I got to find some holy water. You know how to make your own holy water? You boil the hell out of it. I don't have time. No, prayer doesn't have to be big words and a big ritual. It can be, God, can you lead me and what I should wear today? God, can you show me where to park? God, can you help me keep my mouth shut around that big mouth? Because I want to tell her so bad. God, can you give me strength? Because today I don't feel it on my own. I need you. God, can you give me joy? Because I look at the world and it's dark, but I know your light. God, can you? All of these are prayers. One lines, two lines, all day long. Now suddenly you're praying all day long, but it's just one and two lines at a time. And then, this is free, this isn't my message, then go ahead and thank him when he leads you. Thank him when he shows you.
I don't like to thank God. That's like work.
Come on, y'all, thank God when he is good to you. So acknowledge him in all his ways. Before we were pastors, we were living out in the country in Franklin County, and we had horses on a horse farm. And there was this 5 acres close by that we wanted, and there was only like one way to get to it, and it was inconvenient, and they actually had never put in a driveway, so you really couldn't get to it. And David was praying about it before he did it. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And when he was praying, he felt like God was saying $15,000. He was just praying and kept kind of feeling $15,000. So he comes to me and says, hey, babe, I think we're supposed to make an offer on that property for $15,000. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's do it. So he wanted to do it. He prayed about it. So then he makes the phone call. That's the proper order to do things, because if we just, hey, I bought property all over here. I know that property goes for $3,000 an acre. So if I can get that property for $3,000 an acre, I know I can turn a profit in a couple of years. So I'm just going to make the deal. That's leaning to your own understanding. Because God knows when a property value drop is coming. Hello, 2008. He knows when things are coming, and he'll lead you. It would just make total sense in the natural. And he'll say, woo, hold up. And suddenly he'll go, and what'll happen is everybody else will fall. Property values will fall. Your money will still be in the bank because you didn't make the deal, and now you'll be able to buy twice as much. Property values will go back up 5 years later. And we bought a piece of property in 2013, right before the market came back. And since then, we made $200,000 on that, $275,000 on one piece of property. One. Everybody say, be led. Acknowledge God. Lean not. We don't want our own understanding. It's dumb. It's limited. We want God's understanding. He knows what's coming. So he calls the guy, and the guy is so rude. He pretty much hangs up on David. He's like, I won't take a dime less for $25,000. You are wasting my time. Bye. And David's kind of like, oh, boy. I already told my wife, I thought God said $15,000. Man. So the integral man he is, you know what he does? He bucks up, straightens up his spine, and comes and tells me, I must have missed it. I thought God told me $15,000. He won't take less than $25,000. I tell you what, the things that we think will make us look smaller in other people's eyes actually make us look bigger in other people's eyes, because I trust that man. Because he'll come to me when he thinks he made some mistake. So he's like, well, I don't know, $25,000. We really want that property. Lean to your own understanding. Maybe we should offer more money. Maybe we should raise it. Maybe he'll meet us if we come closer. Well, we don't do that. And a few weeks later, and how many of you know when you want something or when you're on a diet, a few weeks seems like years. So a few weeks later, the house that was next door was foreclosed on, and it sold. And when they sold it, they forgot to tell them there was an easement through the property. The easement through that property was the only way to get to that land. So the closing company had to make it right, and since the new owner wouldn't give them the easement back, the closing company has to buy that land. The closing company calls the really mean guy, and the really mean guy is going to charge him $25,000. So they paid $25,000 for that piece of land. Now they have three neighbors. They have the new guy who said, I do not want that property. I just bought this one. They have our neighbor behind us who is 50 acres away and can't even see the property from their house. I'm going to choose wisely here. And then they have us. We're the only people left. So they call us up and they say, hey, we kind of got in this situation. They explain it. There's only three people who can buy the property. Are you interested? David says, yes, I'm interested. And watch David give God room to negotiate. He said, I'll give you $14,900. And the guy said, man, that's not very much money. Can I call you back? He doesn't call us back for a couple of weeks. So here we are with the opportunity to lean to our own understanding and say, man, if we offer him 17, he'll probably give it to us. What if the other neighbor buys it? We'll never get it back. Oh my gosh. It would have cost us more money. Because a couple of weeks later, we get a phone call that says, hey, nobody else wants that property. Is there any way you could give me $100 more and make it $15,000 for the property? It doesn't make sense. I didn't see it happening that way. I didn't know the easement would go away. The guy said 25. We thought about offering him more. The other guy came back. We thought about offering him more. When God gives you a way, when God gives you 15, when God gives you stay here, just follow God. So to wrap up, that's what Asa does. Asa goes into war following God. And he's only got half as many guys as the other guy. It looks like they should be wiped out. But what happens is it says, so the Ethiopians were overthrown. And they couldn't recover. And they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. And not only that. You see, God doesn't bring bad circumstances to you. Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. But when the devil comes, God's going to make him pay $50 every day. So he doesn't just stop there where they carry away much spoil. So don't just look at your circumstance to be over with and get you back to where you are. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So we need to be expecting a lot from our God, because our God has a lot to give. And when we expect, it's called faith. And it says, then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon those cities. And they plundered all the cities, and there was exceedingly, exceedingly, exceedingly much spoil. I'm telling you, if you have the tumor, God can take it away, heal you, give you a testimony, and make it a platform for you to stand on, make you famous for it, put you on Oprah's network for it, make you write a book about it, and bring you finances from the fact that you had a tumor that they said couldn't go away that went away. We serve a God of miracles who sees from up here that we can't limit him with our finite thinking, because he has infinite possibilities, and he wants to use all of those infinite possibilities to lead you to Jeremiah 29:11 and Ephesians 3:20, abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope, because that is the kind of God you serve. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that we serve a strong God. We serve a victorious God. We serve an all-knowing God. We serve an amazing God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a loving God. We serve a blessing God. God, right now we ask you to forgive us of leaning to our own understanding, prophesying bad things over our future, and we stop it now. And when you forgive us of those things, it's as far as the east is from the west. You never remember it again. Right now we have a clean slate, and we say, with long life I will be satisfied and shown his salvation. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me will shown to be in the wrong. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare I will live long and strong on the earth. God, I will serve you all of my days and give you glory. And those who serve you, God, you make them show out. So God, I am ready to receive your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If that was all right today, would you give God a hand clap?
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We open up.